As the coronavirus pandemic moves into its third year, it's time to work toward a new normal. That's the message from six prominent scientists, all of whom were former health advisors to President Biden. They say they're frustrated by his COVID response. The group outlined its own plan in a series of articles in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And among them is Rick Bright, an immunologist and chief executive of the Rockefeller Foundation's Pandemic Prevention Institute. Dr. Bright, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Tanya.
Can we start with a quick explanation of why you and your colleagues decided to write this series of articles?
Well, Tanya, all of us have been intimately involved in pandemic preparedness response for a number of years, and we were all part of the Biden-Harris Transition Team COVID-19 Advisory Board. And so we've been tracking this pandemic very, very closely. And we've watched over the last probably 6 months or so the transition of the virus and the pandemic response into something that we thought we would get under control, which has now seemed to slip out of control in many ways. And so we felt it was imperative that we come up with some ideas and plans and strategies that we think are important to get us out of this mode and into something that is more manageable.
And we should note that when you talk about living with the coronavirus, you're not saying that we should forego precautions or adopt the attitude that it's inevitable that, hey, I'm going to get infected, so I just need to live my life. What are you saying?
And we are absolutely not condoning that at all. Even though we are in the biggest surge of this pandemic to date, and we believe there's not a lot we can do right now to impact that surge, we believe it's really important to protect yourself. And we're encouraged that we now have tools to do so. We know the value of high quality N95 mask and protecting infection. We now have diagnostic tests that will tell you when you're infected. And we know that the vaccines that we have are playing a significant role in saving your life and in reducing hospitalization. So we have all of these tools that can help control this pandemic. We also know, however, that this virus, you know, if anything is shown us, it will continue to mutate. And we need to be able to get out of this pandemic panic cycle, this whiplash, if you will, a back and forth of variant, panic, variant, panic, and learn to use these tools that we have in a combined way and line them up against this virus. So when the next variant does emerge, we are armed, we have the supplies, we're ramped up, and we can stem the tide of that next variant and keep this virus under control.
Well, on the subject of the evolution of the virus, you have been dismayed by the Biden administration that it was caught off guard by Delta and Omicron. You had warned the president that these variants were coming when you met with him exactly 1 year ago.
I did. I'm a virologist by training, and there is nothing about the evolution and change of this virus that should surprise us. If anything, we should expect it to change. You could fool me once with Delta. You can fool me twice with Omicron. But for God's sake, we need to make sure that we do not get fooled a third time. We need to respect this virus from what it is, and we need to use every tool that we have now to block it and control it. So when I advised the Biden-Harris transition team back in January of 2021 that the virus will continue to change and that our vaccines will become more and more challenged and that we need to do everything we possibly can to have them stay one step or two steps ahead of that virus, that the comment was met, it was received, but yet little has happened. I'm encouraged to hear that the vaccine manufacturers are taking steps to update the vaccine, that they have an Omicron variant vaccine. It could be available by March, but they're waiting for the government to give them a signal to conduct the clinical trials and to ramp up production of that vaccine for its use. So this is where the public and private sector need to do everything possible to stay in front of this virus.
One of the complications of all of this are folks who refuse to get vaccinated for whatever reason. But you and others have written in these articles that we should not be bullying or berating the unvaccinated, that tactic does not work. So what does?
Well, we've tried that tactic for quite some time. There are so many people in our country who are unvaccinated because they can't be vaccinated, because they're too young, or they have other conditions that would prevent them from being vaccinated and from being vaccinated safely.
So you think we put too much emphasis or we look too much to those who have refused to get vaccinated versus the realities of the amount of people who are not vaccinated because they can't?
We shouldn't group them all together. You're right. And even those who refuse to get vaccinated, I think we need to look more deeply into why or how we can reach those people.
It also sounds like you're not impressed with the CDC-issued paper vaccine cards. You were quoted as saying, relying on paper cards that can easily be forged is unacceptable in the 21st century. Why are better vaccine cards critical to get to this new normal that you're talking about?
Well, a lot of it has to do with trust. And those paper cards we know are forgeable. And if restaurants or businesses are requiring those for entry these days, it's easy for someone to just write something on it and enter when they might be infected and spreading that virus. Another part of it, though, Tanya, is the fact that we need to modernize our data systems in the United States. There's still this huge gap of information about this virus and where it is and who has it and who's been vaccinated and who's recently tested negative or positive. If we had this data infrastructure, we would be able to have much more information about the nature of a virus and where it's going and how it's changing. And it would give us an upper hand to be able to tailor our tools so we can be in position to catch that virus and stop it as it emerges and spreads.
What are some other ways an upgraded public health infrastructure would actually help in this call to get to a new normal?
Well, it's clear that we have huge gaps in our public health infrastructure. We don't have staff in our hospitals. We don't have the supplies and equipment and the supply chains and raw materials that we need. Right now, we're experiencing huge challenges with this surge of Omicron because so many of our healthcare workers are out sick. There's no backup plan. So what we're forced to do now is put in crisis standards of care where we're asking healthcare workers to go back into work even though they might still be infected. We have to give them those tools and make sure that they're doing all they possibly can to protect themselves and their patients and their colleagues. But our healthcare infrastructure is just so outdated in our country. We need to strengthen it. And we need to sustain it in everyday life so it's there when we need it for this next big pandemic.
You know, there's also still the debate about vaccine mandates. Do you agree that we should have them?
In the United States and around the world, if we have any hope of being able to bring this virus down to some manageable level, we're going to have to consider mandates at the employer level, but also federally or nationally. We have to put in vaccine mandates to achieve that 90% or higher level, that wall of immunity that we need to hold back new variants of Omicron and SARS-CoV-2.
So let's say that somehow magically we do all of these things. And I use the word magically, but you're saying these are real things that we can do. Testing, better infrastructure, the benchmarks of how much respiratory illness requires new interventions, the forecasting of new variants. What will our new normal look like? How will our lives look compared to how they look today if we're able to tackle all of those things?
Our lives can look like they did back in 2019 before SARS-CoV-2. We do have to tolerate a certain number of infections, certain number of hospitalizations, and a certain number of deaths each year from influenza. And we're going to have to do the same thing probably with SARS-CoV-2. And the virus, being the nature of virus it is, it's going to always change. And so it's going to always require some sort of updated vaccine or response to it. But we don't have to panic. We don't have to have this cycle of variant and panic any longer. One other thing that we have to do, though, Tanya, is update our air. So it's about the air that we breathe on an everyday basis, the filtration and the ventilation and how we think about contaminants in our air that will also help reduce the level of virus or pathogens in the air that we breathe.
That's Rick Bright, a former health advisor to President Biden and chief executive of the Rockefeller Foundation's Pandemic Prevention Institute. Dr. Bright, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya. It's great to be with you.